The title of today's feast day, if you look at the sacramentary or the lectionary for today, says the Most Holy Trinity. But if you heard the readings carefully, none of the readings speak about the holiness of God. None of the readings even say anything about the Trinity. When I read the readings, I almost wanted to rename the feast to the Feast of the Most Loving Trinity. The reason why I was inclined to do that is because of what is said about God in today's readings. So, for example, when Moses speaks, he says, God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, rich in kindness and fidelity. St. Paul, in today's second reading, refers to God as the God of love and peace. And then the gospel reading, honestly, there are other readings that could have been better for today's feast. For example, Jesus saying, the Father and I are one. Wouldn't that be a better reading for today's feast? On the contrary, today's reading says, God so loved the world. It's all about love. So when I read the readings for today, in one sense, I was relieved. Because no matter how much you can talk about the Trinity, really, what do we human beings say about the Trinity? It's easier to preach about love, God's love. On the other hand, it is the hardest thing to preach about God's love, particularly if you're trying to reconcile this God of love with human suffering, natural disasters, terminal illness, or our own human experiences of distress, hopelessness, and misery. So as these readings were read, I wonder if you were thinking, why, if God so loved the world, that God could not save the child you lost? Or if God so loved the world, why couldn't God hear your prayers for your addict child? Or why could not God heal someone that you loved very deeply? Why couldn't God just give you some financial help when you really needed it? God can do anything, right? In love. Or why couldn't God just take all your temptations away? So it is difficult to reconcile these thoughts with a God who is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and rich in kindness. Now, it is not my intention in this homily to address this dilemma. However, in 3 points, I want to focus on how these readings made sense to me in prayer. And all I wish to do is to lay that out before you. And as the readings lead us, this is not about the Trinity. So here's my first point. If this is true, that God is a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger and rich in kindness and fidelity, then it is impossible for me to conclude that God causes suffering. In other words, God deliberately makes people suffer. Or that God causes natural disasters so that people may suffer. I also find it difficult to believe that God is unaffected by pain. In other words, when we suffer, it's not like God sits there totally stoic. I find it impossible to conclude that God does not weep when we are in pain. Today's gospel reading says, whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Should we conclude that the hundreds of thousands of people that died last week, good people, and who did not believe in Jesus, that God sent all of them to hell? What are the answers to these questions? Honestly, I do not know. And it's hard to admit that I do not know. But there's one thing I do know, that God is a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger, rich in kindness and fidelity. That God is the kind of God who would give God's Son for the salvation of the world. The God I know is a God who has Father, Son, and Spirit worked beyond human wisdom, beyond human rationality, beyond human intelligence to somehow save the world. God sent his Son for the world to be saved. And I trust God to save every person that God created in love. I trust God to make the right decisions in God's overwhelming, unfathomable, and inexplicable love. That's all I know. Beyond that, what can I say? We are just human beings. God is God. My second point. St. Paul says in today's second reading to the Corinthians, he says, encourage one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. So you got that? Encourage one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. And then Paul ends his letter by saying, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. You recognize those words. We begin the Mass with those words. So here's my question, the dilemma that went through in my mind. Should we interpret Paul to mean that because the grace of Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is with us, that we should encourage one another, agree with one another, live in peace? Or because we live in peace and agree with one another and encourage one another, that God's grace and love is with us? It's like the chicken and the egg question, what comes first? To answer the question, I want to go back to what I said in the beginning of the introduction of my homily. I said I wanted to rename this feast to the Feast of the Most Loving Trinity. But then when I thought about it even more closely, I realized holiness is love. Love is holiness. So even when you say the Feast of the Most Holy Trinity, you are actually saying the Feast of the Most Loving Trinity, because holiness, the test of holiness is love, and the test of love is holiness. So I think Paul means both. On the one hand, he's asking his community to live in love because then the grace or the holiness of God would be with them. And because the holiness of God is with them, they could have the grace and the peace of God. He means both. Basically, what I'm trying to say is this. Holiness and love are integrally connected. In other words, we must be the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. It's not that these things are with us, but this community, we must be the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit for one another. And if we do that, can you imagine the power of God's grace alive and active in our midst? My third point. As Catholics, I think we're very fortunate, because we, of all people, understand what it means to have the grace of God, the love of the Holy Spirit, and the fellowship of the grace of God, the love of Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We understand what that means in its most intense form because of the Eucharist. What happens here is the Father sends the Holy Spirit so that this bread and wine becomes the body and blood of Christ. So the Eucharist is the most Trinitarian thing there ever is. At every Eucharist, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit work beyond human wisdom and intelligence so that the triune God is in some way available to us. However, there is what I call a fourth dimension. There's Father, there's Son, there's Holy Spirit, and then there is you and me. God is not just spirit sitting there uninvolved. God gave His Son so that the world, you and I, might become part of the Trinity. So even though God is self-sufficient, God still wants communion with us. Think of a mother. A mother is self-sufficient by herself. Or a father, today is Father's Day. But without the child who lives outside this father or mother, is that parent self-sufficient? The child somehow completes who they are, isn't it? The same thing with the Trinity. There is the Trinity, and God doesn't need anybody or anything. God is self-sufficient. Yet, God invites us into communion with this triune God, this God of who is gracious and kind and merciful and loving, because God loves. God just loves. And we Catholics can participate in that communion in the most direct, intimate, loving way. And that's what today's Eucharist should be for us. We give glory and praise and honor and everything that we can give to our God. But we must recognize that God invites us. And yes, there is pain. Yes, there is suffering. Yes, there are unanswerable questions. But all we know is love and our invitation into communion with that love. So, As we celebrate this Eucharist, and as we continue to bring the bread and wine and bring ourselves, let us be aware of this great feast. Let's be aware of God's love, most of all, the invitation to be part of that love. And may we who find communion with this triune God find salvation, hope, healing, and everything we seek. People of God said.